Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. What follows is how foolish the ways of the heathen really are. They were those who were given to cutting out images from the trees and covering them so as to take away their natural appearance. They would have decked them with silver and with gold. They would have nailed them so that they wouldn't move. And although they stood upright, yet they couldn't speak. And although they were made into an idol, yet they couldn't move of themselves. They had to be carried. Was there any just reason to fear such an inanimate object that was the work of man's hands? The one that they had caused to fear was the true and the living God, of whom there was no equal, and of whom we read about in verse 6, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations?" Wonder tonight, have you a fear of God in your heart? It was the God of heaven and the King of nations that was to bring them into the promised land of their inheritance. And the word of the Lord through Jeremiah was the same as when they first were to enter into that land. The nations were driven out of the land because of their idolatry, because of their witchcraft, and because of their sinful ways. And the nation of God's people were not to be conditioned to those things, nor follow after them. He was not, that is, God was not to be worshipped in the same manner in which they offered worship to the false gods and idols. You come back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and you'll see the words of verse 29. And this is the message given to the nation of Israel ere they crossed over into the land of Canaan. Verse 29, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." The command not to learn the way of the heathen is as applicable today as it ever was, and none more so than when it comes to these things which the world and the heathen increasingly and alarmingly hold dear to themselves, one of which is the festival of Halloween. Here's something that God's people are in real danger of being sucked into and conditioned by. And where there is a marked upsurge in the activities surrounding it. And oh, tonight may the Lord expose the hidden things of darkness to our minds as we seek to look at this subject in the light of God's precious word. I want you to consider with me this evening, first of all, the deception. For many parents, it probably is the case that this time is looked upon as a bit of fun for the children. And that may range from parties to jokes and pranks to getting together in the homes, the usual games that are played out at this particular season of the year. And while I believe there is more that lies behind these things, as we will see, that is not to say that the ordinary parent knows anything about these things, or by accommodating of them do they give their support to the dark element that is underlying. What then is this darker element? It may be portrayed as innocent fun, as dressing up, and doing all those other things. But we are, or we should be well aware, that one of the best tactics of the devil, and not from the beginning of time, is the tactic of deception. He deceived Eve in the transgression of taking a forbidden fruit, and that old serpent at the end of time, we're told, will be cast into the lake of fire, where he shall not be able to deceive the nations any longer. Revelation 20. Here's a tactic that the devil used from the beginning, and he will use right through until the end. And there's deception where this festival or holiday or whatever way you want to term it is concerned. The origin of this stems back to a sect called the Druids, who were related to the Celts. And according to the Roman conquerors, they were particularly to be found in the low countries of France and Belgium, etc. And they learnt that this sect were to hold a religious practice which celebrated the end of one year and the beginning of a new year. And this was held over a 3-day period from October 29 until November the 1st. They called this the festival of Samhain. He was supposed to be the master of death and demons. This was a period that they considered to be their new year, when the dark and the cold months were to have the ascendancy over the summer and over the warmer months. And this festival was considered to be the most important, and the Celts considered it to be the time when the gods of the other world mingle with the living. One neo-pagan has described it as a very magical time when the dead walk among the living. The Druids thought that the night of October 31st was when the spirits of the wicked dead were to come forth to visit the living, and the living at that time would disguise themselves in an attempt that these evil spirits would leave them alone. Yet today you'll go into your shops and you will see the harmless children's masks. They're displayed today, and yet there's a deception as to where the idea comes from or the sinister connotations that are behind them. The O-Pagans, while wanting to play down some of the more evil elements of Halloween, nevertheless have said, and I quote, that the time between the old year and the new year, in other words, the 31st of October, was a time where chaos could reign. Time was abolished during this period, and people did crazy things in a way which we still find in a watered-down fashion in the custom of trick-or-treating. Part of those celebrations was also the offering of animal and human sacrifices on bonfires. And there would be the moving from house to house in order to obtain some offerings. The houses that gave something were promised prosperity. Those that didn't were promised to be cursed. And when the Romans conquered the Celts, they were to outlaw those sacrifices, and instead they were to bring in the offerings of fruits and vegetables. And the fruit that was most available at that time of the year was the apples. And there are some who believe that that's where the bobbing for apples originates from. They would seek to catch the apple in a bucket of water, and they would bring it up for an offering for Samhain. Maybe you're asking the question, well, how did this then come to be in the so-called Christian calendar? It takes us back to 835 AD. You mightn't be surprised when I tell you it was a pope. Pope Gregory the IV moved the celebration of All Saints' Day from February, and he moved it to November the 1st, so as to coincide with this festival of Samhain. He may have thought and hoped to replace the pagan festival with a holiday which would be associated with the church, but in reality, there's a combining of the two. And so therefore the people were free to do whatever they liked the night before on the 31st of October. They would get up to all the wickedness and devilment of the day that they desired, and then come the next day, All Saints' Day, they would come for the absolution of all their sins in confession. They called All Saints' Day All Hallow Mass. And the night before was All Hallows Eve, or All Halloween, and the name has stuck ever since. You know, when I was growing up, and that wasn't too far back, there wasn't much talk about Halloween. You know what Halloween was? It was the time that you gathered the spuds out of the fields, and you got off school to do it. I hear parents, and I have heard this, parents have said in my presence, I would rather have Halloween than Christmas. Something sinister about that. There is deception. There's deception with those things which are associated with it. And we have already mentioned something of the bonfires which were used to burn to death, the sacrifices which were offered. We have mentioned something of the trick and treating, of the dressing up, all those characters which are intimated, the witches, the druids, the ghosts, they're all deemed to be of the occult. Let me just give you a quote. Costumes also originated with these druid death rites, as people and animals were screeching in agony while being burned to death. The observers would dress in costumes made of animal skins and heads. And we have also spoken of something as innocent as the dunking of the apples, and there's much more that could be said about each of these, but consider the deception about the lanterns, or the cut-out pumpkins or turnips that are seen today. What does those signify? An older edition of the World Encyclopedia defines jack-o'-lanterns as an ancient symbol of a damned soul. Jack-o'-lantern has its origin with pagan practices. The candle-lit pumpkin or skull served as a sign to mark homes sympathetic to Satanists and thus deserving of mercy. Does the Bible not warn us against such? We certainly know that we cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have a mixture of worship. King Ahab sought to have it with the worshipping of Baal on the one hand and with the worship of God at the same time on the other hand. But men and women, God is a jealous God. He has stated, I shall have no other gods before me. There cannot be a cohabiting of an ancient pagan festival under a thin cloak of so-called Christianity. The words of 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 and following ought to be familiar with us, not only with relation to the unequal yoke of marriages and in worship, but surely also in practice as well, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Well, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Here's something that is marked and marketed as a bit of fun. But underneath the surface, if you look at the origin of some of these things, there's the deception of the devil. And the challenge then that faces us tonight, therefore, is this. Are we saying that these things are harmless? Are we really saying to our children that Satanism is harmless? There is the deception. But I want to go on and I want to show you the dangers. For the greatest danger is the subtle attempt to deny and to displace the authority of God's words. It is possible that many do not realize the significance of these religious days of Rome that are marked upon these dates. 1st of November, which is termed as All Saints' Day, is said to be the day when souls walk the earth. In the earliest tradition, souls were said to be released from purgatory on All Hallows' Eve for 48 hours. Before I go any further, let me just say this, that is something that is completely foreign to the Scriptures of truth. Not only do we not find any such place called purgatory in the Bible where souls have to wait until money is paid so as to get them released into heaven. There's no such place. There's nothing of praying for the dead in the Bible either. When David was to learn that his child had died, he was to stop praying. When Elijah was to go to heaven, he said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee." When a person dies, it is too late to pray for them then. Their opportunity to make preparation to enter into heaven is gone forever. That is why I implore you, dear loved one tonight, who's in our meeting unsaved, to consider your latter end now, while it is the day of God's grace. And to seek the Lord in mercy for your soul's salvation, while God's Spirit strives with you. For He has said today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts. The very thought of a soul being able to escape from hell is the strongest delusion from the devil. You would turn to Luke chapter 16 with me. I don't really need to give you the background. It is a very familiar passage of the rich man who died, of the beggar who died and he went to heaven. The rich man died and went to hell. There in that passage, not only do you not find there's no mercy in hell, for not even a drop of water. He was looking for just a mere drop of water to be placed on his tongue so that he might be cooled. There's not even a drop of water given to that rich man. And it is no coincidence, of course, that the suffering of a lost soul is symbolized by thirsting. For I would that you would consider Calvary. And there the Christ of God, the one who would bruise Satan's head, the one who would destroy him who had the power of death, there on the cross dying as a sinner substitute, dying as one who became sin and paying the punishment for sin, he cried, "I thirst!" Christ thirsted. That's not merely a physical thirst. That's symbolizing the sufferings of a lost soul. He thirsted and he died so that his people might never have to. But look again at this rich man whose body is in the grave but whose soul is in hell. Look and see, is there any escape for him? Is there a second chance given to him? Can he hope to be out of that place after a time when so many prayers are said for him? There's no such teaching in God's Word. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It is, you see, men and women, young person, forever and forever. It's the eternal damnation of a lost soul. How can you escape? It is not through the signs and wonders of the Pentecostals. This man desired if but one rose from the dead. Yea, if you send Lazarus to my brothers and come to them and warn them not to come to this place. That's not granted either. where the only way of deliverance for the sinner is through the power of God's Word. Verse 29, Abram saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, and if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And the Moses and the prophets that's spoken about there is the Old Testament Scriptures. It's the Word of the living God. For it is the Word which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. It shows you that you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It shows you, sinner, that you're heading to that eternal place of punishment. But it shows you also the Savior from all sin and the way in which you can be saved. And it is God's Word that is able to keep you from the traditions of man and from the darkness of paganism. But while November the 1st is All Saints' Day, November the 2nd is All Souls' Day, the day of the dead. And listen, I'm not talking just centuries ago. I made reference this morning to the time as a chaplain in Coleraine University. And this time of the year, I guarantee if you walk in this week, you will see up the notices, Mass, November the 1st, All Saints Day. November the 2nd, Special Mass, All Souls Day. They still hold it. This day was created to honor all the faithful dead. And masses are held by the clergy in order to assist souls from purgatory to heaven and cuddle up close to all of us is All Hallows' Eve. The most important date in the pagan calendar as it marks the beginning of this their year. This whole festival runs contrary to the Scriptures. There cannot be a merging of darkness with light. For God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There are other dangers that are more obvious. The focus of Halloween is upon violence, brutality, blood, and death. That's why the movies are getting worse and more violent as time progresses, and of course, they're only producing what the people want to see. The emphasis of Halloween is upon fear. There's a terrorizing of the innocent. There's a terrorizing of the vulnerable. But let me direct you to what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the fear. If you're saved tonight, then in Christ we are secure. In Christ we have one who is greater than the very devil himself. 1 John 4:3-4. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Another danger with Halloween is that it glorifies the occult and everything that is of Satan. The period in question is marked of one of satanic holidays. It's marked by sacrifice. And it's the only holiday that is marked by human sacrifice. We are not to be ignorant of Satan and his devices. There are the dangers regarding what is often betrayed as just a holiday. Just an occasion for a bit of fun. And that leads me on to show you thoroughly tonight the directive. What should believers' response be to this dark, devilish activity?
I don't know whether the other parts of the country is the same as Kilkeel or not.
Kilkeel's generally quiet for
11 months of the year. And then during this time of the year, everything goes off. And they're firing things at houses. All the rest of it. What's our response? When the children of Israel were to enter into the promised land, you'll be mindful that the nations therein were heathen. They were the pagan nations. They were idolatrous in their worship. And some of the things that we've already mentioned with respect to the keeping of this pagan festival of Samhain was also known amongst them. And Moses, directed by God, was to give such warnings to his people. And I take you back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, this time, chapter 18. Look at the words of verse 9. I'll give you just a moment to get there. I want you to see it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, in the words of verse 9. Here's the message of God through His servant. He says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations. Did Jeremiah not say that? Is that not our text tonight? Learn not the way of the heathen. It's exactly the same. They weren't to learn the ways of the heathen. In other words, their response to their ways was to be one of separation. Look at verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or an necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. The Lord forbid the giving of their sons and their daughters as sacrifices to pass through the fires. They were not to be in consultation with the charmers and the enchanters and the witches. They were to stay separate from all practices. God has never said for His people to be found in the playground of the devil and to be playing with His toys. A young person has said this to the youth fellowship before. Don't get caught up with reading those stars in your papers. You're dabbling with the devil's toys there. And adults, don't be foolish. That's what you need to read every morning, not the stars. God's word will direct you for that day. The opposite is to be the case. You read in 1 Corinthians 10 that God said through Paul to His people, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Look at how God considers such activity. We read it in verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. It's something that is abhorred, it is disgusting in the sight of God. And it was for these things that God was driving these heathen nations out of that very land. There is to be separation from such practices of the world and the heathen. Our response ought to be of not accommodating it. It's reached a stage now where even some churches lay on special events to mark Halloween. We who are saved ought to reflect the grace of God and shine forth the light in everything that we engage ourselves in. Ephesians 5 verse 8, our brother mentioned this on Tuesday night past at the prayer meeting. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And further exhortation is given in that chapter as well, in verse 15 and 16 of it.
Let me just read it to you. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In other words, be on your guard against those things that are going on around you. You're to walk circumspectly. As a Christian, we ought not to be conditioned by these things, or to somehow feel as if we must accommodate them or follow in the ways of what the ungodly are doing. My friend, there is a directive from God's Word as to how you can know deliverance from the darkness of your sin and from Satan. For you see, I haven't really left Deuteronomy 18 yet. And there the people of God were not to consult with the diviners and those who purported to speak of the great mysteries of the unknown. In the words of verse 14, "For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." But you'll notice the one to whom they were to take heed to. Verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And oh, men and women, young person, when you read the words of verse 15, you're reading of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one raised up of God. The one who would dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, John could say. He was the one who took upon himself the form of sinful flesh, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:17, "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." And it was Christ who obediently laid down his life, giving not once for all sacrifice for sin upon the cross of Calvary. It was there that he shed his precious blood to atone for your soul so that you might go free. The blood which the devil has no answer for, it's still able to cleanse the vilest sinner clean tonight. Oh, you may not be caught up in the practices of the devil, but in your sin, you're still under his sway. He's still the master of your life. And die as you are tonight sitting in that pew, you will for all eternity be in those caverns of the damned along with the devil and his angels. Dear friend, I uplift before you the one who can set you free. For John 8 reminds us in verse 40, if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is the Savior alone who can deliver you from the chains of sin that bind. It is Christ alone who can set the prisoner free. You can know tonight the power of God's salvation to deliver you from the power of darkness, to translate you from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear Son. But oh, as I come to a close, I wonder, will you bow the knee tonight? Will you repent of your sin? Will you call upon the Lord in mercy to save your guilty, hell-deserving soul? The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only one who can defeat the power of the devil in your life. Will you come to him? Will you come to him tonight and be saved? Learn not the way of the heathen, but oh, learn the way to Christ tonight and to the cross. Which is it going to be for you? I wonder, will you come? Thank God he has said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I wonder, will you come tonight? May God have mercy on your soul. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this evening. For his own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please.
not sing any more tonight. There is one dear soul that can set you free. Jesus, the prisoner's fetters breaks and bruises Satan's head, power into strengthless souls at space, and life into the dead. Wonder, will you come? Behold the Lamb tonight, which beareth away the sin of the world. We're here afterwards as God's servant for your sake. Gladly open the Scriptures to you, point you to the Savior. Our Father and our God, we thank the Lord for thy presence. We thank the Lord for the solemnity of many hearts. Lord, thou dost know we've looked at dark things tonight. But, O God, we thank thee for the glorious light of the gospel of saving grace. We thank the Lord for one who is the light. And in him there's no darkness at all. We pray in the closing seconds of our meeting that thou wouldst silence every lip. Thou wouldst, Lord, speak to each heart. Lord, we've been challenged by thy word tonight. But, oh God, we pray that most of all the unconverted will be convicted by the word tonight. They would know thy Spirit dealing in grace with them. Lord, we pray that the scales might be lifted from off their eyes. This very night, sitting in this church, they might behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Thank the Lord, the blood is able to pardon Satanism tonight. The blood is powerful enough to deliver a soul that's in the grip of the devil tonight. We plead that power. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst liberate a soul that the devil thought he had. Father, have mercy. Come, O God, at this time. Intervene. Lord, we pray for an intervention of God in Kilkeel to the salvation many precious souls. Part us in thy fear and in thy favor. Be with us, Lord, the rest of the evening. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name.